Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5. We have a Vodna. If I can read, I haven't got my glasses. This is the demigod's appeal to the Lord. Text number 1 to 5 or 6. Maybe 5. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Sukha Uvacha Rajan Uditam Etate Hari Kamagya Nashanam Gajendra Mokshanam Punyam Revatam Tu Antaram Srinu. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, I have described to you the pastimes of Gajendra Moksha, which is most pious to hear. By hearing of such activities of the Lord, one can be freed from all sinful reactions. Now please listen as I describe Raivata Manu. Text number 2. The brother of Tamasa Manu was the fifth Manu named Raivata. His sons were headed by Arjuna, Bali, and Vindhya. Text number 3. O King, in the millennium of Raivata Manu, the king of heaven was known as Bhibhu. Among the demigods were the Mutarayas, and among the seven brahmanas who occupied the seven planets were Hiranyaroma, Vedashira, and Udvabahu. Text number 5. Okay, text number 4. From the combination of Subhra and his wife, Vaikuntha, there appeared the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, along with the demigods, who were his plenary personal expansions. Text number 5. Vaikuntha kalpito jenam. La loko loka namaskritam. Ramaya partan nam anina. Devyatat priyakam yayam. Vaikuntha is the goddess of fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, at her request, created another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone. Please repeat. Just to please the goddess of fortune,
just to please the goddess of fortune,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Vaikuntha,
at her request,
created
another Vaikuntha planet, which is worshipped by everyone.
Purport.
Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur remarks here that this Vaikuntha planet, like Srimad Bhagavatam, appears and is said to be born or created. But both Srimad Bhagavatam and Vaikuntha eternally exist beyond the material universes, which are enveloped by eight kinds of coverings. As described in the second canto, Lord Brahma saw Vaikuntha before the creation of the universe. Vairagava Acharya mentions that this Vaikuntha is within the universe. It is situated above the mountain known as Loka Loka. This planet is worshipped by everyone. So, this Vaikuntha planet, which everybody worships, means you're all worshipping this planet above the Loka Loka mountains. It's worshipped by everyone. But we've never even heard of it, practically. I mean, outside of Srimad Bhagavatam, we've never heard anybody talking about the Loka Loka mountains and the Vaikuntha planet is there, but it's here it says it's worshipped by everyone. That means the rest of the universe, they have more information than we do. And the unfortunate situation today that we don't even know that there is anything beyond this, another planet beyond where people live beyond this planet. But here it's common knowledge. Everybody is worshipping that Vaikuntha planet above the Loka Loka mountains. So there are different... There's also another Vaikuntha planet, or maybe the same one, I'm not sure. But a local... Maybe Dhruvaloka, is it? Dhruvaloka is Vaikuntha planet? Well, I think so. So... It's the Prabhupada describes it as the local Vaikuntha. It's within the spiritual world, the planet of where Kiradakshaya lives. Also, there is a local Vaikuntha planet, and that is the Kiradakshaya Vishnu who expands as the Paramatma into everyone's heart to maintain the universe. So it appears there are different descriptions of different Vaikuntha planets, even in the material universe, which is covered by the different eight elements. So this is simply the kindness of Krishna. This huge arrangement, which is really inconceivable to us. How Krishna has managed everything that's going on in his universe, the situations of the universe, the different manus are coming at different times. It's way, way beyond our comprehension, practically. But this is how expert Krishna is. And this whole manifestation is created simply for us. No other reason. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, what does he say? All the living entities here in this material world, what is that? They are sustaining the universe. Prabhupada used that word. What's that verse? Living entities are... What's the translation? Anyway, all living entities. It was in the old Bhagavad Gita. It's been changed a little bit now. But the way it was phrased in the old Bhagavad Gita was very nice. All living entities are sustaining the universe. Does that mean I'm sustaining the universe? I'm a living entity. I thought this was Krishna's position. I thought he sustained the universe. But in that verse, the way it was written previously, the living entities are sustaining the universe. This is the job of the Paramatma, the Supersoul. But it means, no, The living entities, because they have a desire to lord it over the material energy, to lord it over the material world. It's that desire that is sustaining the material universe. Otherwise, there's no need for a material universe. It's certainly not for Krishna's pleasure. He's got his own Vaikuntha planets. He's got his own pastimes going on eternally with his mother. So he doesn't have to create a material world for enjoyment. This material world is created by our desire. It's for the rebellious living entities who have actually left Krishna's service, who have left the spiritual world, and with a desire to imitate Krishna. We want to lord and enjoy. We want to control and enjoy this material world, which is Krishna's position. But Krishna is so kind, because we can't create a world for us to go and be the lords in. We may have a desire, but we can't do anything about it. But Krishna's so kind. Okay, you want to lord it over and be the supreme enjoyer. Okay, I'll create you a whole universe. You know. So that's Krishna's kindness. He's so loving, like a father when the naughty child is nagging for, "I want this, mommy. I want this, daddy. I want." Okay, it's not good for him. Okay, take it. So like that. We have been very naughty children. Okay, Krishna says, okay, go to the material world. So Krishna has to create it for us, because we can't create it. But he fulfills that desire and sends us, allows us to come in the material world by our desire. It's not Krishna's desire. Prabhupada said Krishna gives you three warnings in the spiritual world. You don't go to that place. Three times. Whether they're all the same time or separate times. I don't know, some devotees say they may be separate times. Just like when the Lord Vishnu glances over the material energy and all the living entities are impregnated into the material energy. And they come with some with the glance, some from his paws. But also with the glance, it's described in the Brahma Samhita comes... along with time... which is another Krishna's form, which transformed into Shambhu. And Aroma Devi. Aroma Devi is Yogamaya, Lakshmi. She's the goddess of fortune. So she also comes at that time. And as the glance is going on, it's being carried by Aroma Devi into the material cloud before the manifestation takes place. But Aroma Devi is alone. And she's the goddess of fortune. And the living entity sees, oh, such a beautiful woman. And she's alone. He gets attracted and comes into material. But he has a chance, actually. Because at that time, there's no manifestation of the three modes of material nature. The Bhagavatam describes in the process of creation, in the beginning, the consciousness is pure. That state is called Vasudeva consciousness. So at that time, the living entity, if he desires, because it's pure consciousness, the three modes of material nature are not manifested, he can at that time choose to go back. But then the next element that makes his appearance, of course, the Vasudeva consciousness is eternal of the living entity. But when on the appearance of the first element, is the Ahankara. And that Ahankara principle dictates that yes, you are the Lord. You are the enjoyer. That's because the presence of Ahankara means Mama Meti, I am mine, I am the Lord and I am the enjoyer. And this Ahankara is actually a dictation from Shankarshan. So we're always under this illusion, this dictation of Shankara, under this illusion of Ahankara. When the presence is manifest, the Ahankara, I am the Lord and I am the enjoyer, oh, we say, oh yes, that's what I wanted. That's what I want. And immediately, we're covered in Ahankara. Then all the other elements come. Intelligence, mind, and then all the gross elements, etc. And everything is created. Because we have that desire, yes, this is what I want. So that's also another point. You could have gone back to Godhead in pure consciousness before the material elements became manifested again. Anyway, Prabhupada said Krishna gives us three warnings about coming into this material. We're so stubborn, we didn't heed these warnings, and now we're here suffering the threefold miseries of this material world, which we can't really work it out at all, how to get it together. Unless we had the Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we had the sadhu, we were completely lost, complete in darkness. So, how would we ever know if the Loka mountain existed? But there is a way out. We can worship this planet. You can even see this planet. You have to come to Mayapur in about 7 or 8 years when the temple of the Vedic planetarium is complete. We will show you can see there. You'll be able to see the Loka mountains and the different Mount Meru and everything like that. It'll all be depicted there in the temple. This is Prabhupada's desire. He said there should be a big dome and the universe should be hanging like a chandelier. Like here, you've got a chandelier hanging. And all the planets are situated and they're moving on the pole star. So that's Dhruvaloka. That's the Vaikuntha planet. So even the support of the universe is Vaikuntha planet. And Prabhupada said it should be moving. And you should see how the days and nights take place and how the eclipses also take place. He said that the planets that are hanging, they're supported by air ropes of air. Krishna is bound by a rope, probably made from jute or bichuli, I was going to say a cow in the village. Krishna was bound by a rope. But these ropes, they're made of air ropes. So they connect, and as you it spins the Dhruvaloka, then naturally they all spin out. If you have things suspended on string and you spin it, then naturally they all fly out. It's like the chandelier, and then it moves around like that. It's connected with air ropes. I don't know if we can display the air ropes, but the scientists who are working on it, they think it can be done. Some other means would be, but they figured out that it can be actually done. So then we'll be able to see the picture of the whole universe in a three-dimensional feature. It'd be very unique in the world because there's nothing else like it. There is another one like it it's not like it actually, but there is a model of it in, what's the name of it, near Jaipur. Place near Jaipur. It's a Jain. It was a Jain temple or a Jain person built it. And you can look at it. It's like a two-story building, and you from the outside you look in. When you actually see, they got Mount Meru and they got different planetary systems. But apparently it appeared in the Time magazine or something like that. But the pujari, he was kind of, or the person in charge, he didn't really know much, he couldn't really explain much, so they kind of more or less laughed it off, you know, it's almost like a mythology. So our scientists have to be have to present it very scientifically, the whole project. Anyway, it'll certainly be a very big preaching tool. Maybe one of the biggest at them. It's something that nobody's even heard of before. And so it's just going to open so many eyes in different fields, scientific field, etc. But Prabhupada said you should invite leaders of different worlds, the scientific people especially, and you explain it's a science. So if they're reasonable. They'll accept it as a science, even if they don't agree with it. They got their science. So Bhagavatam also is his science. So you can accept it as a science. But Prabhupada said in the future, he said they will build other projects like this. Project mean Prabhupada wanted a city for 50,000 devotees in Mayapur. And all branches of knowledge should be taught. There should be universities. And also simple living, high thinking. Govardhan Hill Ki, Jai. We just went to your new project. Simple living, high thinking. So he said that should also be exhibited. And he said in the future, he said there will be many cities styled after this in Mayapur in different parts of the world. And this is a prediction of Srila Prabhupada. And someone asked Srila Prabhupada, if we got the President of America and the Queen of England to come for the opening ceremony, would the Parampara be very pleased with us? And Prabhupada said, if you do that, he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come to take you by the hand and take you back to Godhead. So, if you want a quick way back to Godhead, you can assist in the project. At least you can preach about it. Prabhupada said, actually, this temple is existing. Because it's the Lord's, it was Lord Chaitanya's desire. He said, this temple is existing. He said, but you have to manifest it. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the vision of that. He could see, he said, but so it's existing. But you have to manifest it. Then he gave the example of Arjuna and the universal form. Krishna was showing the universal form and the form of time. And he showed Arjuna, look, everybody's already killed by me. Arjuna saw all the Drona and all the enemy parties all rushing into the mouse, and Krishna was crushing them. And he said, I've already killed everyone, Arjuna. You be the instrument. So he said, similarly, he said, the temple's already built, but you have to go and build it. You put the bricks and the cement, and they do the practical thing. He said, if you don't do it, he said, someone else will do it in the future. But it has to happen because it's the Lord's desire. Shatya Shankalpa, whatever the Lord's desire is, will be without fail, it will happen. So he said, if they do it, they'll get the credit. He said, better you do it, then you'll get the credit. So Arjuna got the credit for being the hero of Guru Ketra, for killing millions of people, but actually Krishna said, I already killed everyone. So here, Srimad Bhagavatam pointing out so much information here that we've never even dreamed of before. How the whole universe is going on, the management is going on perfectly under Krishna's direction. And just to please the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikuntha, at her request, created another planet. A Vaikuntha planet. So this is Krishna's kindness. The goddess of fortune. So his wife, every husband knows the wife is asking for something or nagging for something. If you don't get it, they nag. But they want something. Here, the goddess of fortune, she's saying, I want to Vaikuntha planet. And Krishna, okay. A good husband. She doesn't mention she was nagging, but even the Vaikuntha planet. Krishna is so kind. Okay, have a Vaikuntha planet. So this is how kind Krishna is. Trivikram, this is who we are serving. So we should never be fearful or apprehensive in our preaching that we can't do something. We understand who's behind us. Krishna is known as Trivikram. Very uncommon pastimes. He was a little boy like this, Vamanadev, Trivikram. Oh, I just want 3 steps of land. He just pokes his toe through the universe. Very uncommon for a little boy to do that. So this is who is behind us, Trivikram. So don't be fearful. You should go out very, very fearless in your preaching. You have such support behind you. Don't think it's only you doing the preaching. No, you have the whole parampara and right up to the Trivikram. Very uncommon pastimes. So that's the same person, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his mission. And specifically, we are spreading his mission. So we should never be fearful in our preaching work. We have Trivikram behind us. He's very he can do anything. He can unthinkable things can be very easy achieved. Isn't it? For him, it's nothing. Yeah, okay. Oh, you want to Vaikuntha planet, my dear wife? Okay, heaven. As easy as that. So Krishna can always fulfill any desires that we have in his service, that can easily be fulfilled. This is also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he made a vow to chant 1 billion names, Ek Koti Lakhanam, which he completed. It took about 10 years. It means 3 lakhs a day, like Haridas Thakur. And he was living there at the Brajapatan, at the Chaitanya Mat there. That area is none different than Vrindavan. Radha Kund, Sham Kund is there. He was doing his bhajan there. And I actually asked one of his disciples, Damodar Maharaj, Bhakti Ratnaka Damodar, I believe. He used to live next door to us in Mayapur. I said, you have in the Chaitanya Mart. If you've been there in Mayapur, you've been to the Chaitanya Mart. You see there's a Shyamkund, Radhakund, Govardhan. You have Shyamkund and Radhakund and Govardhan here. But according to the Nabadita Mahatmya, then Govardhan is in Kola Dweep, Radhakund is in Ritu Dweep. So how come we see them here? And Damodar Maharaj told me, he said, my Guru Maharaj was doing his bhajan here. And he said, because his eternal place of bhajan is on the bank of Radhakunda, then his bhajan stan manifests here, where he was doing his bhajan. And therefore he told us, when he was doing, he said, here is Radhakund, here is Shyamkund, here is Govardhan. He said, we couldn't see, but he pointed out to us. So his own place of eternal bhajan becomes manifested where he does his bhajan. And so they asked him, can we build Guru Maharaj? Can we build it? Can we actually dig the kunds and build the Govardhan? He said, yes, you can do it. But he was actually seeing that it was manifested there. So then they dug the hole and made a Shyamakunda, Radhakund, and Govardhan today. Anyway, at the end of that vrata, he describes that he was at the jog pit, at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And then he saw Panchatattva coming from the eastern direction. And in Kirtan, and with them were all the devotees, unlimited devotees. Six Goswamis, everyone was there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there. His own Guru Maharaj, Guru Vishwadas Babaji. They had all left the planet previously there, but they all come in the Kirtan. And they instructed him. He said, now you should give up this vrata you are performing. He said, now you should go out and preach. And they said, you don't worry about anything. When you need manpower, he said, we will supply you unlimited manpower. We have unlimited resources. When you need money for construction or anything like that, you don't worry about it. We have unlimited resources behind us. We're all behind you. This was the whole Panchatattva and the Parampara. And they were telling him, we're all behind you. You don't worry about it. You just go out and fearlessly preach. Look who's behind you. You've got to support you. And they said, just go out and preach fearlessly. That's all you've got to do, and we'll take care of everything that you need. Nothing will be lacking. So this is our situation here. This is the Lord we are worshipping, Trivikram. Very uncommon. Very uncommon pastimes he has. So when Mahaprabhu wanted Vritipiti Chatuaga Nagaradi Gram Savachapachi Hoi Muranam, every town and village of the world, the holy names of Krishna will be heard. This is Mahaprabhu's pastime. And we are assisting in this pastime. And we have all of that parampara behind us, the panchatattva. Everyone is behind us. Quite practically also, we see many instances in Prabhupada's preaching even when he was in the Western countries. And in England, many instances, but in England he said, and when they got the Bhaktivedanta Mana, he said you should make a, very place. Anyway, Prabhupada said you should make a Vyasa San, small, he said, for one for Narad Muni and one for Lord Brahma. And the devotee said, what, are we going to install Lord Brahma and Narad Muni there, Prabhupada? He said, no. He said, don't you see, they're coming. They sometimes come for arati here. You don't see? And so several times he was saying that. You don't see the ratiyatras. Oh, you didn't see the demigods there? So, of course, and another time when Prabhupada was giving a lecture in America, and one man walked to him with a suit and tie and his shoes on, walked into the temple hall, and he said, you're all my lectures. And, of course, Westerns don't know that word, but they're all on my lectures. And then he walked out again. And Prabhupada said, that was Narad Muni. So, like, they're interested because it's their we're coming in their parampara. Lord Brahma, Brahma Narad, Vyasadeva, right down to Madhavacharya, down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Gaudiya. So they're very interested. Because this Gaudiya, from after Madhavacharya, then the Gaudiya. This is the glory of this Sampradaya, or Brahma Sampradaya. This is why it's so glorious. Lord Chaitanya appeared in this Sampradaya. He could have appeared anywhere. But he chose to take initiation into this Sampradaya. So he's glorified. So they're so happy. They're so proud. Brahma and Narad. And look at how, you know, it's actually taking off now. You know, we've given the Vedas. We spoke in the Vedas. I speak, the Brahma says, I'm speaking the Vedas. Narad distributes the Vedas everywhere. But here we're seeing something that we never even wrote in the Vedas. We never even dreamed of before. Here we're going to see the Yavanas and the Malechas. They're all chanting in the names of Hari. Hari, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. This is most very uncommon. So they're very excited. They come. They personally come to see and assist. They're very proud of the... Now the Gaudiya mission, because it's their line, they're the grandfathers, the grandparents. So all these great personalities are behind this movement. So we should have no anticipation. We often worry where will money come from or where will resources come from. But actually just depend completely on Krishna and preach fearlessly and everything will. One time in Mayapur, Bhavananda Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, we're sitting here in rice fields. At that time, it was just completely flat. It was rice fields. And only the Bhajan Kutir was there. And he said, we're sitting here in rice fields, Prabhupada, and we're from cities. We're sitting in the farmlands, in the rice fields. And you're asking us to build a big city here. He said, where will all the money come from, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada started laughing. He said, our Bhavananda, he said, he's always worried, where will money come from? Where will money come from? He said, here you have Madhava. He said, Madhava means the husband and goddess of the fortune. He said, you simply serve Madhava nicely. You don't worry. The goddess of fortune is behind you. Radha Madhava Juki. So this is the nice thing about this whole Krishna consciousness movement. And all we need is faith, that we have so much support behind us. So this movement can become glorious. We can spread it all over the world, do very wonderful things, astonishing things, uncommon things. And just by depending on Krishna, having complete faith in Krishna, we hear the words from the Parampara and we just, that becomes our life and soul, and we just execute that. And it will happen if we have complete faith. Samasundar Prabhu was telling one story that Samasundar and Malatif, and in the early days, and they were in one temple, I think it was Los Angeles, and they used to feed everyone. At that time there's a lot of homeless people during that period, and everybody would come to the temple. It was a big thing, and they would feed everybody prasadam, and it was really taking off in Krishna consciousness. But nobody had any money, so nobody was giving them money, but they wanted to maintain their, you know, feed the people and give them Krishna prasadam, and they were coming and chanting Hare Krishna. But they didn't have any money, and they were kind of, you know, what are we going to do? We're desperate, and we're months behind in the rent. They're going to take the property away because... And he said, they were living outside, and they were going to Mangalarati, so it's like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, dark, and they was walking. There's absolutely no one in the streets, and they were walking to the temple, and $100 bills started blowing down the road from somewhere or another in the wind. And they were just picking up. It's funny. So there's unlimited resources there. So pennies from heaven, they say. These were dollars. So these were dollars from Vaikuntha. So that's, we don't have to worry for the building up of this movement, the spiritual movement, and expanding it all over the world. We simply have faith in Krishna, and similarly, our own individual Krishna consciousness, exactly the same. All we need is complete faith in the holy name, complete faith in Krishna, and everything will be manifested. It comes from the sound vibration. Prabhupada mentions also in the third canto, I think, fundamental principles of material nature, that chapter. He says how sound light becomes manifested first, then from the sound comes the ether, and then from the mixture of the sound and the ether comes the air. Then that combination, these permutations of these elements, then comes the air. The sense of sight, then the sky, then form, like that, then the watery element, the sense of taste, and then the sense of smell, and it's all created by permutations of these different elements. Then we get down to the gross earth is produced. And so Prabhupada said, we can see that everything is produced from sound, materially. It's in the subtle form. Sound is the subtle form, and it manifests this gross material energy now. So things we are using now in this material world, our necessities, are created from sound. So Srila Prabhupada said one should understand that as this sound has created all material necessities, the same sound, when purified, the spiritual sound, that can create spiritual necessities. He says, so that is the Hare Krishna mantra. He says, you chant Hare Krishna, everything will be created. It means your spiritual life, your spiritual advancement will be created by the sound of Hare Krishna. Actually, you don't have to do anything else. But if we have implicit faith in the holy name and simply chant and hear the holy name, that's all you've got to do. So this is the progression. Nam, Rup, Guna, Lila. The holy name will manifest all these things. First, the holy name manifests the presence of God. You can actually, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can feel the presence of the Lord. You'll understand the holy name is none different than the Lord. Then after, the holy name will reveal his form. You'll be able to see the form of your worshipful deity. He'll manifest in your heart. After that, he'll reveal his guna, the qualities. You'll be able to hear the very sweet voice of Krishna. His skin is very softly touched. Well, these qualities of Krishna he'll manifest. And then Leela, pastimes will be revealed. Then you can enter into the pastimes. Prempumatapama. The final goal of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. The love of Godhead. And that's all done from sound vibration. And there's no really any more endeavor for our part to create our own spiritual life. It will all be done by the mercy of Krishna in the form of the holy name. He is the Yuga avatar. He's come in this age in the form of his own holy name. We have to become convinced that he is our deliverer in this age. The only deliverer. Unless we accept this message of Panchatattva, the chanting of Hare Krishna, then there is actually no hope for the living entities. There's nothing else is powerful enough in this age of Kali to counteract the age. All the other systems of yoga, they're not powerful enough to counteract the age of Kali Yuga. Only Krishna can do it. Because Naradi went to see Krishna, and Krishna said, "Why are you crying, Naradi?" He said, "I just come back from the material world. So bad, so bad." He said, "Now the Kali Yuga is going on, and I just don't see any hope for the living entities. Such a bad age." He said, "Do you know what the prime symptom of Kali Yuga is?" He said, "All the men are controlled by the women." Very bad age. So he said, "I don't see any hope for them. How can they be delivered?" And Krishna said, "You're right, Narada. There is no hope. They can't be delivered. The age is too powerful. There's only one thing that can counteract." He said, "That's me. If I come, I can do it. But there's nothing material. No other process can do anything." So he said, "I will come myself. I will come in the form of my own holy name. And I will come also in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom together with all the devotees will come under the banner of Sankirtan. And we will smash the poisonous fangs of Kali with the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!" So actually Krishna is doing everything. You know, from our enjoyment in the material world, Krishna's created a whole universe for us because we can't do it. He's given us a body so we can execute our desires. He's given us the senses and mind. He's given us everything. So spiritually also, Krishna gives us everything we need. And all we have to do is simply hear the holy name, the sound vibration. And Prabhupada said it's an art. And he said, when you've mastered that art, then it's easy. When you've mastered the art, then it's quite simple. You actually be feeling the presence of Krishna when you're chanting this holy name. You would come to this realization. Krishna will reveal his presence through his holy name. And all we've got to do is nothing. We've only got to be attentive to the sound vibration. Somebody asked Prabhupada, "What we should be thinking of when we're chanting Hare Krishna?" Prabhupada said, "There's no question of the mind, no question of thinking. You're simply attentive to the vibration of the holy name." So I'm not doing anything, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm just attentive to the sound vibration. And just by doing that, my senses become controlled, my mind becomes controlled. I'm not doing the yoga process, Ashtanga yoga, to control my senses and mind, but all of a sudden the mind is controlled. Who controlled the mind? Did I do it? Who did it? Krishna. The holy name did it. All I did, I didn't do anything. I was only chanting Hare Krishna. Then the senses are controlled. Mind is controlled. Because they're absorbed in Krishna. There was nothing else happening. So by the Nama Prabhu's grace, then he, because Krishna says, Yes, the holy name. So I will carry what you like. We have uncontrolled senses, uncontrolled Krishna's. Okay. How? Just hear the holy name. That will be absorbed in the holy name. Then the mind becomes controlled by the grace of the holy. Then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who has, for him who has controlled the mind, super soul is already reached. So that means you're going to be feeling the presence of the Lord. Everywhere. You'll feel his presence. That means he's none different than his name. You'll be feeling his presence. This is Nama realization. First realization he revealed. So then all the other realizations will come. And it's all coming from the sound vibration. So practically we're not doing anything. Krishna's doing everything for us. We simply need implicit faith in Krishna in the form of his holy name. And everything will become manifest automatically. Otherwise we're always asking, how will I become purified? How will I do this? How will I control this? So the goal is not to control the mind and senses. The goal is not to become pure. The goal is to serve Krishna. And he says, you serve me by chanting Hare Krishna. Gauranga nitya seva hoy vipikash. Back to Mayapur. Nityananda Prabhu predicted, what is it that comes from that temple? He speaks of a wonderful temple. What happens there? Something spreads all over the world. Gauranga nitya seva hoy vipikash. From that temple. Service to Gauranga. How do you serve Gauranga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Nama Seva. So it's a prediction. So everywhere, we can service to Gauranga goes all over the world from that from that center. So all we need is that faith. Everything will happen. Our own spiritual progress will be manifested by the holy name itself. If we need controlled senses, the holy name will do. If we need controlled mind, the holy name will do that. If we need anatta nivritti, the holy name will produce. If we need ruchi, if we need ashakti, if we need right up all the way up to prema, the holy name will manifest. We don't have to individually work on why, but it's also there. If you want, you can practice sadhana and meditate and try to purify yourself. Otherwise, you can completely depend on Krishna. And absorb in his service. And absorb yourself in the chanting of Hare Krishna. And it will come by the grace of Krishna. So, but because we lack faith, then we get so many different systems. Krishna gives in so many different systems of yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's so many types of yoga, practice. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni gives a whole system of Ashtanga Yoga, beginning from Asana, Pranayama, the eightfold mystic process of yoga. Right up to samadhi. And Prabhupada says samadhi means absorption in the Supreme. This is the eighth step in the yoga system, Ashtanga Yoga. You're absorbed in the Supreme. Prabhupada said that the devotees, the Supreme is Krishna. So the devotees' minds are always absorbed in Krishna, so they're in samadhi. They don't have to practice all the different processes. They simply absorb their minds in Krishna. And that's samadhi. Technically, it's called samadhi. And Prabhupada said, actually, there's one more step after samadhi. Preaching, yes. The preacher knows. Yeah, beyond samadhi, the preacher. So Krishna's giving all these different processes. Why? Because we really don't have complete faith in Krishna. We're still really depending on our own abilities for different achievements. And because the condition of this material world is that the basic principle it's functioning on is that I am the controller and I am the enjoyer, Amamiti. This is the basic principle. I think I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. I have a little space where I am and I'll move things around there, control it, and then I'll enjoy that situation. So we're creating a little situation so I can become the center of it and I'll enjoy it, control and enjoy. So this is the consciousness that's been through, as we transmigrate through the 84 lakh species of life, the same consciousness is there, control and enjoying. So it's such a deep-rooted consciousness. So when Krishna comes and says, Sarvadhanam Parityajamami, give up all those other processes, you just surrender to me. It's difficult, we're so conditioned. Krishna, no, give it up. It's so difficult. Masuchaha, don't worry, don't worry. I'll take care of you, Krishna says. No, you don't worry. But still we find it difficult. This is due to our conditioning, and it weakens our faith in Krishna and the Holy Name. So, therefore, Krishna gives so many systems of yoga. Okay, if you're attached to household life and friendship, society, and love, here is a karma yoga system for you. It's good for you because you're still on the idea that you're the controller, and so you control the material situation, you control your society and everything. Then you enjoy it. And the jnanis and the yogis, okay, you control. Here is a system of control. Yeah, I'm good at that. We've had a lot of practice of being a controller. So, you want to control. Here's the system. Control, yoga. Okay. It's all control, right? Asana, niyama, pranayama. It's all control. Controlling the sitting, controlling the breath, controlling the posture. It's all control. That's what you like. You think you're the controller. Okay. And then what happens? For the jnanis and yogis, generally there, what is the goal of that? They get their liberation. What does that mean? Huh? Merging in what? Merging in Brahman. Brahman is Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma. You become liberated. Aham Brahmasmi, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma. Very, very joyful. Huh? Krishna says, one who has attained this stage, he never laments about, he sees gold and stones equally. He thinks there's no greater gain than this. He is self-satisfied, self-effulgent. He gets pleasure from the self. He sees the self with the self. He's relishing and enjoying in the self. See? Enjoying. Krishna's given you a process. First you control the yoga system, because you're so habituated to thinking you're the controller. Okay, control, control, control. Then you can enjoy it. So, unfortunately, we have to implement both of these sometimes because we don't have complicit faith. But if we do have complete faith in the Holy Name and we give up this nonsense controlling and enjoying mentality, Krishna says, give that damn nonsense up. That's all you've ever done in your existence in the material world. Trying to control and trying to... Just give it up and surrender to me. But if we can't, okay, at least do a yoga system. Take you out of the material world, at least give you liberation. But for the devotees, he doesn't want that. Don't waste your time. You just take full shelter of me. Have complete... complete faith in me. And Krishna says, he will do everything. Everything will be accomplished. Anything, all of your spiritual advancement will automatically be accomplished by the grace of the Holy Name. And we're simply chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. An example is Srila Prabhupada. What did Prabhupada do practically? Like from an overall vision. Prabhupada, more or less, he just came here for a japa walk. 14 rounds. Because he traveled around the world 14 times. Practically, that's what Prabhupada did. He came to America. What is he doing? He's chanting Hare Krishna. Went to New York. And a few people gathered around him and started. He walked off and walked over to LA. And he just walked around the world 14 times, chanting Hare Krishna. And behind him, temple was springing up, farms were springing up, schools were springing up, devotees were springing up, tilaks and chanting. The whole thing started happening. And Prabhupada was just walking, chanting Hare Krishna. He didn't seem to be prepared to do anything. He was just Hare Krishna. Just going on his own sweet way. And behind him, in his wake, a whole Krishna consciousness world was springing up. And what is he doing? He was only chanting Hare Krishna. This is practical, you see. Because of his complete faith in the Holy Name, complete dedication to the service of the devotees and the Holy Name, everything was manifest for Prabhupada. Otherwise, what? How many rupees he had in his pocket? 40 rupees, 40 rupees in his pocket. One man was talking to Prabhupada in Mayapur and he said, he was an industrialist. And Prabhupada said, I can teach you business. He said, I went to America with 40 rupees. Now I have 40 crores. I can teach you business. So it was all behind Prabhupada. Everything was behind him. Such opulence was coming and everything was just coming up. And all he was doing was chanting Hare Krishna. He himself had 40 rupees. But he completely depended on the Holy Name. He just saw wonderful things happen. So, if we can follow in the footsteps and simply have that implicit faith in Krishna and the Holy Name, then everything will manifest. We can do such wonderful things for the world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. Samaveda Bhaktabrinda ki. Chapati Yatra ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes. Krishna Nam is already after Mahaprabhu. He will ask. Okay.
Thank you for your wonderful class. You mentioned about the faith in the Holy Name. Theoretically, we have heard from Srila Prabhupada and the devotees that there is no difference between the Lord and the name. And Prabhupada says that if one just understands this, that there is no difference between the Lord and the Holy Name, becomes fit to go back to Godhead. And you very nicely elaborated how everything manifests from the Holy Name. So how does one go from this theoretical level where we have heard that there is no difference between the Lord and the name, and how do we come to that level which you were talking, where just having that faith in a realized level, how does one come to that level of acquiring the faith in the Holy Name?
Prabhupada credits it to his spiritual master. He was a Nitya Siddha, but he acted exemplary. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Banaprasa, and Sannyas. materially. He went through the stages. And then he met his spiritual master, so he was initiated into a bona fide sampradaya, into the holy names of Krishna. He accepted the process, etc. So this is all set in an example, acharya, so we can follow in his footsteps. This is the meaning of acharya. He set an example so we can follow. And So different stages of Prabhupada, his life was going through. Of course, he's under the spell of Yogamaya. The devotees, they come under the Devi Prakriti, the divine energy of Yogamaya Devi. And they appear to be, you know, like ordinary persons. They're like going along like ordinary persons. Gaura Prabhupada said that when these acharyas, great spiritual personalities, come here, you know, they appear to take birth, they appear to grow old, they appear to die, which is not kind of spiritual. We understand spiritual is eternal, but apparently they're coming here and Prabhupada said that when these personalities come here, they act according to the laws of material nature, out of respect for Maya Devi. This is the realm of Maya Devi. This is Durga Devi's realm. And because they're here, they actually respect her laws. And they apparently go along with her laws. They have a choice. We don't have a choice. We are forced to go along. But they have a choice. They actually go along with the laws of the out of respect for Durga, whose house they're in. So they can't be disrespectful to the host. So they go along with her laws. They're in her world. They're delivering us from her world. But out of respect, because the Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman, they're respecting the laws of Durga Devi. So this is the position. They're set an example. One reporter asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, you've just come in on the 707, and you're using all these modern facilities, and you know, like we hear that yogis say, you know, they fly on carpets and things like that, and they're mystical, and they can. Why you are coming on, you know, like a Boeing 707, and it's a materialistic thing? And Prabhupada said, because I want to be one of you. So this is, anyway, in Prabhupada's Vyas Puja offering to his, here in Bombay, the universal teacher it's called, a very famous Vyas Puja offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in that he says, he's crediting his realization, because you're talking of realization, awakening stage. He said Prabhupada credited it out of the ceaseless flow of mercy of my spiritual master that he has awakened a movement of eternality within. So he's showing as a going through the different stages. But anyway, we can see he's already perfected, but he accredited to him by his spiritual master's grace, by the unceasing flow of his mercy, he has awakened within me an eternal movement of eternality, something like that. So this is the realization that comes. You wake, you become actually self-realized. And then you'll understand what eternality is. Everything is happening on the eternal world. Brahman is eternal. It's all-pervasive. Everything is resting in Brahman. It's everywhere. It's here right now, but we're asleep to it. So we can awaken to it. So this is called self-realization. We're awakened to the eternal nature, which is our very own nature. Kim tat brahmam kim adi atma? Arjuna asked Krishna, what is Brahman? What is the self? Krishna says, Brahman, the living entity is Brahman, and his eternal nature is called the self. So this is self-realization. We realize our eternal nature. It is an eternal nature here that we're asleep to now. So self-realization means being graced and awaking up to that nature of our real identity, real self. So this is the platform of eternality. This is the spiritual world is situated on that. Everything is, all the spiritual transactions are going on in this world. But because we're not tuned into it, then we're oblivious, we're blind to it, what's happening. But otherwise everything is spiritual. Brahman is everywhere. The super soul is within everyone's heart. It's within every atom. How many super souls in between me and you? There's me, but we don't see. The spiritual is everywhere. It's the main, so we're asleep to it due to the covering of avidya, which Krishna kindly gave us. Otherwise, we couldn't forget him. If we can't forget him, how we can be the lords, the imitation lords? So Krishna kindly covered us with avidya, ignorance. So that's what it means. It means awakening to that state of self-realization, the humbramasmi. So this is the goal, generally, of all the other yogic systems and processes. They want to take you up to that platform of purification. Pure. You're out of the material existence. And from that situation, then you can understand. Now you're on the spiritual platform. Now you can understand. That's the beginning. That is called sambandha. Self-realization is sambandha. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that says that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes. So this is this Aham Brahmasmi, this realization of Brahman. He said this is the goal for the Gyanis and the Yogis. They're all aspiring for this. Now we've achieved it. Now, you know, we don't, our studies finished, our austerities are finished, our penances are finished. Everything is finished because we got the goal now. Krishna Das Kaviraj says, for the devotees, they say, now is the beginning. Now the hearing really begins. Now the chanting really begins because now it's done in an awakened state. Now it's coming, the feeling is, we're getting the feeling of spirit now. We can actually feel the presence. And everything now is coming from the heart. So now that we say heartfelt because actually we're in the heart. In the conditioned state, we feel like we're up in the head somewhere, in the brain or something. But actually, we're in the heart. So then everything is coming from the heart. And we use that expression, heartfelt. Everything is heartfelt. Our thinking, feeling, willing functions come from our heart because we're in it. And so that's then the service really begins at that point because now it's being done with feeling, spiritual feeling. So sambandha, we've connected spirit. That's just the beginning of spiritual life. So this is, you talk, this realization, we're speaking of realization. How do we get that realization? You can take a yogic process and practice it to get to, or you can just listen to the, be absorbed in the holy name and Krishna will give you it. Depends what you want to do. You know, touch your nose like that or like that. So Krishna says the yogic, the bhakti yoga the process is simple. You just got to absorb, hear the process, depend on Krishna and hear the holy name, and the holy name will reveal it. Otherwise we can, no, I'll control myself, and I'll get it, and I'll enjoy it. So it's a realization that Krishna will give. But a devotee is not overly, it's nice, I mean, Prabhupada, again and again, you must understand you are not this body. But it's not that we're giving all our attention to understand we're not the body and practicing yoga and trying for purity. Our process is we want to serve Krishna because Krishna is saying, Savadanam Padidhyajasu, give up the other processes, but you know, I'm not pure, I want to purify myself. No, give it all up. However you are, you can. That's how I'm surrendered. You're surrendered to me as you are. No, I'm Mr. Kami, Krodi, Lobi. This is me. This is my makeup. I'm full of lust. I'm full of anger. I'm full of greed. Krishna and Mahaprabhu say, that's okay, that's how we want you. That's how you are, that's what you identify. Then give it to me, come to us, embrace it. You don't worry about it, give everything to me. So the devotees, so their main thing is seva. They just want to serve Krishna, whether they realize or not realize. Whether they have good qualities or not good qualities. Because when they're perfect, they'll be doing exactly the same thing, serving Krishna. But if you practice the yoga system, when you're perfect, then you give up the system. But in bhakti yoga, the means and the end are the same. So we just absorb in service now and depend on Krishna. If he wants to give us self-realization, he can give. If he wants to give us paramatma realization, he wants to give us Bhagavan realization, he can give. And if he doesn't, Krishna, he may embrace me or he may kick me away. He may make me brokenhearted by never being present before. But whatever you do, Krishna, I'll always remain your servant, that's all. So this is a devotee's attitude. We just want to serve Krishna and depend. If he thinks we're qualified to have some kind of benediction or relay, he'll give. If not, he's always our worshipful Lord. We'll still serve him under any condition. Okay, thank you. Mahaprabhu. So when you are chanting Hare Krishna, your japa, then where is your mind at that time? Where is your mind at that time when you're chanting your japa? And where is your mind? Is your mind completely absorbed in the holy name? There is nothing else existing. There's no difference between the chanter and the chanted. Is there complete absorption? Or is your mind here and there? The idea is, we've been given the process by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The holy name is the savior of the age of Kali Yuga. It's the life of all of our devotional practices. It's the essence of our movement. But if we're not attentive when we're chanting, if the mind is going off to your house, to your work, to this and that, wherever it goes, we're actually disrespecting the holy name. This is the time for your absorption in chanting Hare Krishna when you're doing your japa. And because your mind goes where your values are. So you value your, when the mind goes to your home situation or your work or wherever it goes, that's where your value is. So you think these are more important than Krishna.
Actually, we are not, neither the work nor the family nor anything else is coming in the way at all. Still, we are not able to chant properly.
Well, that's wonderful. I can't keep my mind for a few seconds on the holy name. It's always going here and there. Okay, I'll have to use my example because my own example. No, what it means is that I'm chanting and then my mind goes here and there. It means I give more importance to my own mind than Krishna. So it's actually a namaparad. And especially if the mind is going here and there for sense gratification. Still maintaining material attachments even after hearing about the holy name. So specifically not having specific faith in explicit faith in the holy name. So this is the at least for myself, and maybe you can appreciate my wicked mind. But I think my mind is more important than Krishna. I'm conditioned and rebellious since time immemorial. And I'm very much attached to my independence. The mind is very much attached to its independence. Because since time immemorial, it's always been had its own way. It's always been independent. And it's never died. Although we've been through millions of bodies, the bodies have died. The subtle body never dies. So subconsciously, I know that I don't die, although I experience going through the death of a body. But the mind still doesn't die. So I've had that independence, which was what I wanted. It's what I came here for, to give out that independence. It's not so easy. So even we get the process and Krishna is personally there in the form of his holy name and we're chanting still. The mind still doesn't want to give up its independence. It still wants to do what it likes. It wants to go where it likes. So then what it amounts to is it's namapara, not having complete faith in the holy name. I think I can do it by myself. I'm thinking of my own self-realization even when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I think by my ability, I can do it. So I'm very much attached to my own pride, my ability of, because of the condition of being the Lord and the enjoyer for so many, since I've been in the material creation. So I can only give my example. That I'm still offensive to the holy name. And therefore he's not revealing. Otherwise, if we are not offensive, then he's promised he will reveal. That's the promise of the acharyas. If the offense is chanting, that is the first stage. If offense is chanting, is there, then Nama Prabhu will reveal himself. He has come here for this purpose only. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come for this purpose only. The Guru has come for this purpose only, to give us the holy name as our only deliverance. It's what they want. It's not although they're holding anything back, but we have to play our part. We have to chant offenselessly, and immediately the holy name will reveal. And the perfect example is Lord Chaitanya. He's the bhakta avatar. He's coming as a bhakta to show the process. So, as Nimai Pandit, and then he was nonsense. He was defeating everyone with his scholarly and his logic. He was an expert at Naya logic. So logic means you can turn things completely the opposite way around by logic. So if you're good at that, then you can defeat anyone. So in Nabadweep at that time, they were proud of their logic, their logician. So Nimai was acting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what pleasure did he get from defeating his teachers and challenging people? The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, it was complete knowledge. What pleasure does he get from having debates with his teachers and defeating students? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I can't understand. But anyway, that was Nimai Pandit, and he would tease the Vaishnavas. If only Nimai would become a devotee. So he was just playing, just like any, wasting his time, nonsense, like everyone else in the material world. That was his pastime. But anyway, when he became serious, then he went to Gaya, and he met his spiritual master there. Maybe for the third time, I think. But then he became serious and he took initiation. And he was actually initiated into the holy name of Krishna. And because he's the bhakta avatar, he's the devotee avatar, he's playing in perfection. He really was so serious that immediately upon receiving the holy name and chanting the holy name with such faith, complete faith in the holy name, immediately he started to experience ecstasy. Immediately, tears were coming from his eyes and his... Immediately. So the holy name is immediate. If we have that conviction, we have that faith and sincerity. So Mahaprabhu was showing it can be done. It's not that he is God and I can do it easy and I'm sure... No. He's acting as a devotee. And bhakta avatar. But he's playing imperfection. He was so serious that immediately... He had the realization, he could feel the presence of the Lord, Krishna. And then from there he went to Kanai Natshala. And then when he saw the Lord there. That place is not different than Vrindavan. But he saw the Lord there. He said, again, when he told the devotees when he came back, I saw that beautiful small boy here. And he called me, come on. And then he disappeared. Where is that Krishna? Rupa. Nama, first Nama realized, then Rupa. He revealed his form. Then later on, you see in Chaitanya-caritamrita, how Mahaprabhu is talking about Krishna's gunas, the qualities of Krishna, and how he is attracting. Mahaprabhu's senses are all fighting to go to Krishna. They all become prominent. His mind won't become prominent. His ears won't become prominent. They're all fighting, and he said, they're like tearing me apart. My senses are tearing me apart, all rushing towards Krishna. In relation to Krishna's qualities, Krishna's gunas. So the guna is revealed. And then later on we see Mahaprabhu he's unconscious, and the devotees wake up chanting Hare Krishna. And then he wakes up. Why did you wake me up? I was there picking flowers with all the shakis. We were going to serve Krishna. Why did you bring me back here to this Leela? So this all happened. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. It's a progression. And Mahaprabhu showed it happened very quickly for him. To show it can be done. If we are sincere about the process. And if we're not sincere, then it'll take longer. But that's all that Krishna wants us to do, become sincere about this process of chanting Hare Krishna. It's the only thing we should be sincere about, or the main thing we should be sincere about, because everything will come from that.
How to become sincere?
You just hear the sound vibration. Keep your mind. You're not separate from the sound vibration. If you can do that, everything will be revealed. You won't be disappointed. Keep your attention on the sound vibration. Absorbed. There's no difference between... You're not a hearer. There's not a hearer and a chanter. It's only the sound vibration. Everything will come from them. Why does... At the time of initiation, Prabhupada told you to chant 16 rounds. Did he give you any other instruction of service? No, Guru does that. Why does he do that? All of the disciples, practically that's all he tells them. Chant 16 rounds every day. And some negative things. Four negative things. But the spiritual... Chant 16 rounds every day. That's all he gives. I had millions of instructions in one canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that he could give us. They're all nice examples. He could give us unlimited examples of devotional service, how to execute devotional service, so many. He only gives one. He says, chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds a day. What does that mean? It means the guru has implicit faith in the holy name. That if I can give this holy name to this fallen jiva and he chants Hare Krishna, it's sufficient for him to take him back to Godhead. It's only three words. Hare Krishna Ram. But he has so much implicit faith, our own guru, that he thinks, I'll just give them these three words, Hare Krishna Ram, that's sufficient to take them back to Godhead. If they do their part. And chant how they're supposed to chant. So we see this in the faith that our guru has in the holy name. That we know how wretched and fallen we are. We know he has so much faith that he's only given this little three little names, you'll be delivered. He has much more faith than we do. So we can see the faith that he has. We can develop that. And so there may... It's difficult to keep your mind on the holy name when you're chanting Hare Krishna. It's not so easy because of the restless nature. And there are many techniques which people give to try to bring your mind always back to the holy name. So whatever works, you do it. But ultimately, we should just be absorbed in the holy name. And follow the progression, first Nama, then Rupa. Some people say you can think of the form of the Lord. Actually, it's not advisable. During your 16 rounds, that's Rupa. First come to the platform of Nam, realizing the presence of God in his name and everywhere. If you put the form there, and the holy name will do that. He will do that. But if I put the picture there, I want to think of this. Or someone saying, well, it's just to chant Hare Krishna is boring. I like to see the picture. I like to think of Krishna. I think of Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. That's great. But specifically, Guru has given this 16 rounds for our realization. So this we should be very attentive, these 16 rounds. Otherwise, if you want to meditate on the forms and pastimes, Lord, chant Hare Krishna is the best way to meditate. But during your 16 rounds, that is specifically... Guru has given you for your realization. So first we should follow the process. First realize anama. That is sambandha. Don't jump over. We're warned again and again. If I think, oh no, I find it more beneficial if I'm thinking of the pastimes, I can put the pastimes and chant Hare Krishna. What does that mean? It's troublesome to always bring my mind back to the holy name. It's troublesome. Hard work. Oh, and it's easier. I can just remember some pastimes from Krishna. That's an indication of sahajiism. I take it cheaply. I don't want to do the hard work. The beginning is the hard work. To control the mind first. By just being attentive to the sound vibration. I don't want to do that, but I'll go to Krishna's pastimes. That's the definition of sadhya, right? They want to jump over to Krishna's lila. So we have to follow very scrupulously. Prabhupada uses that word scrupulously. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's talking of Madana Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath. He said the Gaudiyas very scrupulously follow this principle. First establish Sambandha. Don't try to jump over to Gopinath. Of course you have Gopinath here. But in your own realization, don't try to jump over. First establish Sambandha. First feel the presence of the Lord. That is your Sambandha. That is Madana Mohan. So when we approach Gopinath, we actually approach in the beginning as Madana Mohan. We want to establish a relationship with Krishna. We want that connection. Then later, we'll approach as Govinda for service. Then the final goal is Gopinath. So we don't have to do these things. The Holy Name will reveal Himself. So that's our self-realization. The Holy Name will reveal His form. He'll reveal His qualities. He'll reveal His pastimes. He'll do everything. It's not that we have to think we're advanced because we're putting all the pictures and we're doing all the meditating on Krishna's pastimes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in the 10th canto commentary, I can't remember the exact place now, but Krishna, he's saying, my devotees, they think they're meditating on my pastimes. It's okay, you know, they're coming towards me. He said, but they can't even hold the effulgence from my toenails for very long in their heart, for very long periods. They can't even hold the effulgence, the Brahman effulgence. For a very long period. Can you hold that Brahman effulgence in your heart for long periods? A little period? One moment. But Krishna's a little bit amused, but their devotees, they come. They think they're meditating on my pastimes, but they can't even meditate on my effulgence. So if you can't approach Krishna's effulgence, how? So take the 16 rounds very seriously because that is what the Guru has given you for your realization. Don't try to jump over. First, have that one step at a time. First, we realize Krishna will give understanding of Nam, then Rupa, then form is there. You can see that's not artificial. Krishna's form, He will reveal the form. Then you can look to your heart's content. That is not artificial. When Krishna reveals everything, that is natural. But we shouldn't try to put the pictures ourselves, because that is actually showing a lack of faith in the Holy Name. It's also becomes namaparada. And then we're wondering, why am I not making advancement? I'm lazy in my absorption in the Holy Name. Because I think, actually, my mind's more important. And it's more important when it goes off wandering around. It's more important than Krishna. Krishna can wait while I do my mental wranglings. Because after all, I'm more important than Krishna. This is the idea. So the more we become serious about that, then everything will become revealed by the grace of the Holy Name. by the sound vibration. So you're very fortunate, Mahaprabhu, that you... And you should expect Krishna's mercy very, very soon. Then you can put your lotus feet on my head. Thank you. Thank you, Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna, thank you.